2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Inside Sources. Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson.
Well, you can't make this stuff up. Today, President Joe Biden called on senators to drop the filibuster, to just carve it out, to pass federal abortion rights protections. And we've gone down this path a number of times. Really interesting. Senate Democratic Whip Dick Durbin from Illinois actually pointed the finger in response to the president's call to Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, that they're the main stumbling blocks. He said that the institution of the Senate is being held hostage by two senators. Now, they happen to be Democrat senators, but the reality is there is ways to get this done. Carving out the filibuster is a head-scratcher extraordinaire in my book. And so whenever I have a real head-scratcher, I need the ultimate inside source on the Senate, the sage of the Senate, James Wallner, senior fellow at the R Street Institute. His research focuses, of course, on separation of powers, Congress, political parties, and federal policies. And James, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm sure your spidey sense went up as soon as the president started to speak today that you were going to get a call from inside sources saying we need your help today. So the president makes this thing that we just have to do a carve out. So let's not get rid of the filibuster for everything, but just for this very specific piece of legislation, let's get rid of the filibuster. Where's he going with that?
Well, this is exactly what the president advocated back in January with the voting rights bill. And just as we discussed back then, if your listeners will remember, this, I think, really shows us how little respect that senators, that presidents have for the rules of the Senate when those rules stand in the way of getting them something they want. It's like we should follow the rules all the time, except for this one time when they don't let me do what I want. And I think that is it's absolutely absurd.
And so as you look at that, James, again, it's such a head scratcher. And of course, all of the cable news networks from the right to the left and everything in between are engaging in great battle. We've already talked about the fact that there's fundraising emails being sent out from both political parties on what to do about the filibuster. And it's either, you know, causing the demise of the constitutional republic, or it's, you know, we're on our way to fascism, whatever it may be. But you've explained to us on this show before, and I want you to explain again, the fact that if the Democrats in the Senate actually wanted to pass something on this, there's actually a way they could do that.
You're absolutely correct. The rules aren't the problem. First, how they think about the rules, and that Republicans and Democrats are both the same on this, it undermines the very purpose of those rules. But as you just noted, they're not the problem. The problem is senators aren't trying to do the things that they say the rules are stopping them from doing. They have all sorts of tools in their toolbox to advance legislation. They just choose not to do it. And one reason, I think, as you've acknowledged, is because they don't have the votes to advance the things that they want to advance right now.
And so often it's easy for members of the Senate to say that the filibuster is some, you know, it's like a cardio infarction, that it's, you know, preventing the real blood and the life of the Senate to get to the heart of the matter. But then they constantly commit these infractions where, as you described, they're just saying, well, we only want it for stuff we want. We don't want it for everything. We just want it for this because this is what we want. When we talked about the EPA earlier in the day and the fact that basically what the Supreme Court said on the EPA ruling today was, Congress, do your job. And rather than having Elizabeth Warren scream that this is an illegitimate court and all of that, the court's just saying, well, no, Senator, you can actually go introduce a bill and build a coalition and pass something. You have the tools, the rules, and everything right there inside the Senate already.
And that, I think, really shows us how little regard they have for the rules. It's not a rule if you waive it whenever you want to do something that the rule would otherwise stop you from doing. And you've basically made the whole thing meaningless. And President Biden in his remarks also kind of tipped his hat to the Supreme Court when he said that the only way to guarantee a woman's right to an abortion is to get it into law. And the only way to do that is to have Congress vote on it. When it's has it not been a part of the law for the past, you know, several decades? Does he think that the Supreme Court acted illegitimately when they made the Roe decision? If Congress is the only institution in our federal government that has the power under the Constitution to create law, then we have to ask ourselves, why hasn't Congress been grappling with this issue and taking it up over the past several decades?
Yeah, and that is the thing that we continue to come back to is who's going to put it on the floor? And often it's both Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell who love to go behind closed doors and work out what they will and won't do. They accept the fake fights that they're going to have for their fundraising purposes, and they decide what they can live with in terms of what's likely to impact the next election. And then they come out and drop something on the floor, and there's no debate and there's no amendment. And as you said, James, if Congress really wanted to deal with the Roe issue, they could have done it at any point over the last several decades.
Any senator can put a bill on a calendar to codify a woman's right and access to an abortion. Any senator can make a motion to proceed to that bill and force his or her colleagues to vote on it. Any senator could have done those things. But the reason why senators don't do that anymore is because they're not interested in debating our concerns and then making decisions about public policy on our behalf. They're interested in creating legislative widgets. They're only concerned about the outcome. And if they don't think they can win a vote, then they don't do anything. And then they blame the things that stand in their way, being the rules and others, for why they can't win a vote, when in reality, you have to try. You have to debate stuff. And then other people are going to try to stop you. And then out of that, you're going to get a compromise. And then that compromise is going to become the law of the land. That was how we got our Constitution. And it seems to me, if it's good enough for the delegates to the Federal Convention in 1787, if it's good enough for all the men and women who have paved the way for the Congress that we have today, then it ought to be good enough for the Democrats and Republicans who are in the United States Senate now. And the fact that they complain about nothing happening when they have all of the tools at their disposal to actually make things happen, I think highlights very, very well for your listeners what the fundamental problem is.
Great insight, as always. James Wallner from the R Street Institute, always helping us break down what is going on in this call from the president to eliminate the filibuster. Just carve it out. For this specific thing, just doesn't pass the smell test. And there's so many things that can be done that should be done on a host of issues. And again, the more we allow Congress to abdicate its authority to the executive branch, the more politicized the court will be, because the executive branch will always take the power. And when they use it, a lawsuit will be filed and it will work its way through the court. James Wallner, thanks as always. Have a great 4th of July weekend.
Thanks for having me.
We'll step aside for bottom of the hour news. Much more to come. We're going to talk about the interest rate on the national debt. Guess how much it's going to be? It's a big number. Find out what it is coming up next.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.